I'm so blessed personally to come to this church every time to join with you in the worship and the scriptures in the Word of God and the music, worship music, and in his presence. It's just a blessing every time. And of course, we should remember to pray for our beloved Pastor G. He's still overseas on the trip for work for the God's kingdom, and pray that he'll be home safely next Sunday, be with you. But I love the words of the song that he is with you all along and watching you down the road. That's what we're talking about this morning, that God is the all-seeing God, and he's with us. He's actually watching you and me right at this moment, right now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And this morning, we'll be coming to the Word of God and contemplating on this fact, on this so important fact, that God is the seeing God. And why is it important that we shall know this? And that even more important, that we shall live by this fact every day. It's so important for us to know this, to believe this, and to live by this fact. And let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for our pastor here who is on the trip for work for your kingdom overseas. I pray that his work will be fruitful for your kingdom, and that he'll be home safely next Sunday to be with the church again. Pray, O Lord, that you will guide us through your word, that you speak through me and to our hearts in a way that we know you more, that we love you more, and we trust and believe in you even more. We thank you, Father, and we pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is the all-seeing God. And Proverbs 15, verse 3, that's a verse that we look at and study today. And that is the eyes, in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The fact is that God sees, and he sees everything. He sees everywhere on this earth and everything in this world. But the question is, to what extent does God see? To what extent does God see? And that is important for us, because we know that God, because he is God, so he knows everything, and he sees everything, right? But let us focus, let us contemplate on this fact. To what extent does he see? So let's look at a few scriptures and contemplate on this. God is the all-seeing God who witnesses everything on earth and in your life and mine. Again, that proverb, it says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, not just in this place or that place or in any particular place, but everywhere. That means all the places in this universe. He is there on every point of this universe, and he sees everything. In Job 28, verse 24, the Bible says, he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. So this verse tells us that God, the extent of his seeing, the extent of his vision is complete, completely on everything on the earth and in the universe. Not a place that he does not see. In Job 34, verse 21, 22, his eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. God, not just that he can see the things that are visible under the light, but God can see in the dark, right? It's saying here, there's no dark place, no dark place, no deep shadow, even a deep shadow, that is the place where there's no light. God can still see. And that is amazing. Okay, God sees everything. In Psalms 139, verse 16, this is the words of King David. And in this psalm, he explained that God sees the whole spectrum of his life from beginning till end, and to the point when his life began in his mother's womb, the place where he just was just a cell. Psalms 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God saw him. God saw David. The moment of conception, the moment when he was still in his mother's womb, the moment when he was just a cell that just being formed in his mom's womb. And that's what he said. He said, your eyes saw my unformed body. It was not a sonogram that you can see the baby face or mouth or the hair or the shape of the baby yet. Even just a cell, God saw him. God saw him at that moment of the beginning of his life in his mother's womb. And that is amazing, isn't it? The same way that he saw you and me at that moment when we were in our mother's womb. And then this incident in John chapter 1, verse 48, when the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry and some disciple came to him and tried to introduce another person, Nathanael, to the Lord Jesus. And so this disciple brought Nathanael to the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus saw Nathanael, he said this. He acted like he knew Nathanael. So he said, how do you know me, Nathanael asked. The Lord Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called me. And with that, Nathanael really impressed, and he said, "Wow, he said, you are the Son of God. You are the Lord God. You know, the Lord Jesus, because he is God. So he has the attributes of God, and one of that is seeing. He sees everything. He saw Nathanael even before he came to the Lord Jesus, and he told Nathanael that. So let us think about how does God see. Now, we know that God sees everything, and he sees completely everything on earth and in the universe. He sees every point of the physical space, and he sees every phase of your life from beginning until the end, every day of your life. But let us contemplate on a little bit on how does God see. Well, first of all, you know, the Bible, we look at the verses, and the Bible says that he has eyes and he sees things. But the Lord Jesus, he says God is spirit. God is spirit. Spirit means that God does not have a physical body. So when the Bible says that God has eyes, that his eyes sees, his eyes see everything, it's really a personification of God, because God does not have physical eyes like you and me. No, we see according to the theory that we study in school, right? The way we see is that light was struck on the object, right? And then light is reflected from that object and it goes to our eyes. And the light hit the optic nerves of our eyes. And then according to the theory that we study in school, right? And then that optic, those optic nerves will transmit the signal, the visual electrical signal from the light that's striking on the optic nerves. And from that transmit to your brains and how your brains interprets that as the picture of an object that you see, right? And so it requires light. It requires that you have an eye that receives these lights from the source of the object, and it requires that physical transmission of the optic nerves to your brains to see that. And so we understood how we see. It is a physical phenomena. But here's one something strange. God does not have really eyes, quote unquote, like us. So how does he see? Well, one thing we know is that God is an expert at seeing. How do we know that? He is an expert at seeing. Because why? When he created us and every other animal, he makes sure that we can see. He makes sure that we have this instrument. We have this this thing called eyes. And it's much better than any cameras or any kind of visual instrument that people can invent in this world. So God made these amazing eyes, yours and mine, and of every other animal, so we can see. So God knew how you and I can perceive objects through the visible world here. So God knew about seeing. But the question is, God does not have a physical body. He is a spirit. So now, how does he see? Well, the thing is, I believe that spirits can see better than us who have physical instruments or physical eyes and all of these things. Spirits can see better than us. And actually, spirits can see things that visible and invisible. And that is a realm of God. So God can see better than us, even though he does not have physical body. God is omnipresent, and he's also omnipotent. And these attributes of God involved in the God who is seeing. Because when we're talking about God is omnipresent, God is everywhere, right? And he's everywhere, not just to be there, blindly being everywhere. But God is everywhere of knowing and consciously knowing the surrounding and where he is at. And so he's everywhere. It's also meaning or implying that God's seeing everything that he's at. And he's at everywhere. That is one of the attributes of God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. We know that. And also, God is not just omnipresence and his omnipotence. He can do everything. But that's one third attribute of God God is omniscient. Omniscience means God knows everything. And so in the act, in the capabilities of God being everywhere and God knowing everything, is implying that God is seeing everything. So this is involved in the attributes of God. That is why God can see everything, right? Now, knowing that God sees it all helps you and me to stay off the evil way. This is so important. This is really important for us to know this, that because God sees everything, when we have this knowledge, and we stay on this knowledge, and when we're conscious that God knows everything and sees everything, it helps us tremendously to stay off the evil way. I just want to mention to you something of the recent history, the Boston Marathon bombings. We remember that, right? And one of the things that we should learn from this, from that event of many things, it's an evil event, but something I learned from that event is that we live now in a day and age when everything is captured on camera. Have you learned that? That's how they capture these bombers. And they thought that people don't see what they're doing, but it was captured on camera. And so they even saw these guys on the captured photos and videos of every corner of the world. One of the things that we can learn from this is that in this world that we're living in right now, everything you do at every corner of every street is captured on video. That's the world that we're living in right now. And when you think of that, and if I'm a criminal or you're a criminal, we better think twice about doing something, because everything you do will be captured and you will be caught. It doesn't matter what corner of the street or town or village that you do it. And right now, there's videos and cameras everywhere. And so if I'm a criminal and I intend on doing something bad, I would think twice, because I will be captured somewhere on some videos. And it does have that effect. It does. And Proverbs, again, 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Now, God's seeing is better than the cameras that we put on the streets corners today. God can see really good. The camera can be blurry, but God's vision is very clear. And not only that, God sees every details, and God can see even the things that are invisible to the cameras. God can see your thoughts and mind. God can see way into everything that deep within our hearts. In Psalms 34, verse 15 to 16, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. See, God is seeing in two ways. God's seeing people who are righteous, who are good before him, but God is also seeing people who do evil. And so when we know of this fact, we should be mindful of the seeing God, and we should be careful when we intend to do some sins or something evil. We have to think about that, because God sees it, and he will bring it into judgment someday. So it is important for us to know that. But also, know that God sees it all, gives you and me the comfort when we're wronged by others. When we're wronged by others, this gives us the comfort that God, because he sees it, and because when he sees it, he knows it. He knows the situation that you are in. And if we're innocent of something, we know that God will appeal for us, and God will be with us. And that is the great comfort for us. In the scriptures, there's a story about this maid of Abraham and Sarah. And the story is about Hagar. And Hagar was mistreated by her master, Sarah. And so she was forced to flee into the desert. And this is back in Genesis chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 16, when what happened was Hagar was given to Abraham as wife when Sarah couldn't have a child. She thought she couldn't have a child at that time. So she gave her maid to her husband so that Hagar may perhaps will be conceived and have a child instead of in her place. But then Sarah's plan kind of backfired, because when Hagar, the maid, the Egyptian maid, was pregnant, and then she made a mistake. She despised Sarah, because now, look at me. I'm be able to conceive a child, and you not. That kind of thing, which was a grave mistake, because she forgot that Sarah can be very mean, and Sarah has the power. She is the, at that time, I'm not sure if Abraham or Sarah was the head of the house, but apparently Sarah was. Because when Sarah was unhappy with Hagar and told Abraham, Abraham said, do as you please. Do as you please. And the result was that Hagar, she had to flee into the desert, being pregnant. That was a painful time for Hagar. And while she was in the desert all by herself, the Lord God appeared to her and comforted her and promised her that her child that's still in her stomach will one day will be a great nation, will be a powerful people. And so Hagar was comforted by that, and the Lord God told her to go back to her house. Okay? And when Hagar saw God, Hagar said this in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 16. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Hagar said this. This is important, because Hagar thought that I'm alone by myself in the desert, and nobody seeing me. Nobody even cares about me anymore. That was the thoughts of Hagar. If you were there, if you in the desert land by yourself, you probably have the same thought. You probably you're probably thinking that everybody's forgotten me. And not only that, I'm in a place where I suffer. I'm being wronged. I have not done anything really bad, but now I'm out of my house. I have no place to stay, and I'm a situation where it can be dangerous, even dangerous to my life. And so she was in a place of pain and suffering. And lo and behold, the Lord came to her and spoke to her. And so Hagar said, you are the God who sees me. You really didn't really forget me, but you really saw me, and now you're speaking to me. By saying that you're the God who sees me, she also meant that you're the God who really cares for me. And then that became one of the names of the Lord. You are the God who sees me. That is El Roy. El, anything you see, El is God. And in this case, Roy is seeing me. And that's the name of the Lord God, El Roy, the God who sees me. Perhaps in our lives, we also need to remember that God is also the God who is seeing me, the God who comforts me, the God who knows my situation, who knows who I am, and who knows where I've come from, and what I do. It is that God, El Roy, the God that Hagar said, the God who sees me. Now, here's the thing that I want to share with you this morning, is this. Okay, I've been talking for a while, right, about God who's seeing, and God who sees everything, and you say, well, maybe you say in your heart, all right, Pastor, I knew that. I knew God sees everything, because God is God, you know. I knew that a long time ago. God is God. He can do anything. He knows everything. He sees everything. That's nothing new, because God is God. And you may give, already you may give intellectual assent consent to that. That, yeah, God is seeing, God sees everything. But here's is the important thing that I want to share with you. And me too. I believe that God is a God who sees everything, the all-seeing God. But here's the point. Here's the key. We know it. We maybe believe it in a way that we give intellectual consent to that fact that God knows and sees everything, but do we live it that way? Do we live it that way? We may intellectually have the knowledge that God sees everything, but do we live it that way? What do I mean by that? Maybe at this moment right now when I said, God is here and God sees you and sees me, we say, oh, yes, God sees you, that's cool. And I believe that. But what's more important is tomorrow, Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, when we're not meeting here, when you in your room, alone by yourself, do you live by that fact? When you turn on that computer and you all alone by yourself in that room, do you live to what you believe that God is a God who sees you and me right at that moment when we're not here in church? When we're alone by ourselves and there's temptation there. And you know what I mean. Do we believe and do we live that God is right there, sitting right there with you, and that he's seeing you and me? Do whatever we do. Do we live that? So I'm saying one thing is to have the knowledge, even intellectual knowledge of something and live in it. It's a big, huge gap. That is where our Christian life will be changed or transformed. When the gap between what we know and what we live is no more. What we know is what we live. That is when our lives will be transformed and changed. And you may think that, okay, maybe God sees everything in David's life. He's important. He's a king. So he wrote in Psalm 139, God saw everything in my life. But maybe not me. No, I'm not that important. Maybe God saw everything in these Bible's characters in the Bible, and they're important. They're the saints. They're the people of the faith, and they will be lessons, history in the Bible, all of that. But me? Not me. Who am I for God to see everything in my life? Maybe not. And so maybe we think, well, my life is so ordinary. God will not focus on my life. But the fact is that all these verses that we saw in Job, in Psalm, and look at Hagar, the lowly maid, the Egyptian maid of Abraham and Sarah, God saw her in every step of the way. So don't think that, oh, maybe I'm too young, that God will not look at me. Maybe I'm too ordinary. I'm not important, all of this. So maybe God see everything in other people's lives, but not me. Or like I said before, maybe God sees us here in this church on Sunday, but not on Monday, but not on Wednesday. Maybe God just sees us at a certain time, but not any other times. See that? So there's a gap between what we believe and what we know and how we live. And if we believe that God sees us every minute, let's say every second of our lives, I'm sure that you and me, if we keep on that fact, it will we're conscious of that fact. Every second of our life will be changed. I think we'll sin less. Don't you believe that we sin less when we know that God is right there, right next to me, sit right next to me, and he sees everything that I would do, and even he sees my thoughts. And what? And if I have any plan to say bad things about someone, I whisper to another person. God heard that too, and he sees what I do also. I think we sin less when we're conscious of that fact. And that's why in Proverbs says that God sees the good and the evil, the things, all the things that we do. So just the fact and the consciousness that God sees everything and believe in it, that will help us tremendously to live a holy life before God. And not just on Sunday, but Monday to Saturday. Well, especially Saturday, right? A lot of parties, a lot of things, a lot of temptation and all of that. So what I'm saying is, if we live in the consciousness of the all-seeing God, and then we will have this, the mindset to live in the presence of God, before God, all the day long and every day. And it will help us tremendously. And then, secondly, we may know that God is an all-seeing God, but God doesn't see my problem. Now, I may have a problem here, but because God is too busy. God is too busy seeing other people that are more important than me, that they're doing more important things in the kingdom. And so, my problem is so minute. It's so unimportant for God to see it. But the scriptures tells us that God sees everything and every problem, little or great. God sees. God sees everything. The thing is, most of the time, we know that God's seen everything, but when we face with problems and difficulties, and with, let me solve this. God doesn't see this. Let me solve it on my own. Let's try something. But when we come back to the knowledge, hey, God knew it. God knew how the problem started. And God saw that what happened. And then we begin to think that, well, really, God cares about this thing. Maybe the problem, a little problem in my school, the works in school, or maybe the problems that I'm facing at work, in my life, maybe these problems. And oftentimes, I'm included. I thought, well, maybe God will see more important problem, more critical stuff, but not the mundane, not the little stuff in my life, my problem so little. No, God doesn't see that. God was selectively in his vision. He was seeing more critical, more important things. No, the Bible says that God is not busy. God is not overwhelmed by so much that he only cares for selective things, selective problems. No, God is never overwhelmed with seeing, with knowing, with working, with doing. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God. He's the omnipresent God. He's everywhere. He knows everything. And he can do all things. And he sees everything. Your little problems are mine. And sometimes you have a heavy heart. I was thinking, who's going to understand me? Who's going to understand me? This heavy burden of mine. It's too much. And what God can know this? So let's get on with it. Let's use the flesh. Let's use some method. Let's ask some people to help us. What God can know this burden this big problem. The problem is so intricate, the problem is so twisted, you know, and I don't think God is really into this. What God can understand. You know, on the one hand, we know a lot of stuff, a lot of good things, important attributes of God, but when we encounter with real problems, real world problem, and without, let's leave God on the side. See that? But when we know that, hey, he has the intimate knowledge of everything, little details or big stuff, God knows it. God sees us. Then he's able to solve our problem. And we come and trust in God. And we come like Proverbs 3:5, you know, let's not lean on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Right? And then for many of us, I think I'm included sometimes. Sometimes we act in like a hypocrite. We act in like God doesn't know. Maybe I put on nice clothing and people think I'm spiritual. Maybe I speak loud. Then people think I'm spiritual. Or maybe I do something to, give them people the blurry vision of me, and I thought, oh, this guy is spiritual, but God sees through me. I will make a big mistake to live like a hypocrite before the Lord God who sees everything. I mean, when I come to the Lord God, I have made the decision, no matter what, be truthful, be sincere, be honest. Because I have no other choice. I mean, I can go and worship another God. And I can be a hypocrite all day long and those gods will not know me. But if you and I, we decide to come and worship the true God, the Creator God, the powerful God of heaven, of the universe, heaven and earth, then there's no other choice but to be true to him, to be sincere, to be honest, to be real. There's no other choice because we cannot hide anything from God. We cannot hide. So what's other choices? Tell me what other choices when we come to the all-seeing God. There's only one, is to be true and to be real before God. And then another thing, you and I, we may believe we have the knowledge, we think we have the knowledge of God, all-seeing God, but what about our prayer life when we come to God? You know, when we come to God, this is how we pray, right? This is how you and me pray. Let's think about, what are we going to tell God now? You know, let's have a conversation with God, and we decide, well, this is the agenda outline. Point one, I'm going to tell God this. Point two, point three. But the Bible says that before words on our mouth, he knew it already. What are we going to say? So just blurt it out. Just come to the Lord God and pour it out. Your heart before God. He knew it already. He saw your thoughts already. What's the point in hiding from God? You know, sometimes we think, well, let's not tell God this. I'm not saying that you say it loudly or you articulate that way, but, you know, subconsciously. When we come and pray to God, we say, let's talk only this point to God, but not this point. You know, let's put this away and just only discuss with God these points, not those. Have you ever done that? You know, and the thing is, we cannot compartmentalize our life before God. Okay, here's this room here that God cannot touch. I will let you reign. I will call you Lord in these rooms of my life, but not this particular room. It's hidden away from sight. Actually, I'll hide it away from God. How foolish would that be, right? When we know that God is an all-seeing God. Just come to the Lord God, open it up. He knows everything. And you know, it's such a blessing when you have that. Because who can it be? What friend can you have that you can just, you know, unload all your stuff in your mind before the Lord? He can handle it. He knew it. He saw it. He saw, he knew everything. And he can handle it. Even bad stuff deep in our hearts, he's willing to hear. In fact, there's nothing strange or new to him. Praise the Lord. And so it's wonderful, especially when you feel like you're wronged by someone, right? Raise your hand if you feel like, yeah, you've been wronged by someone. No, you don't have to. But I'm pretty sure that you probably had that feeling or been in that situation before, if not once, and if not three times, probably once. But I would say several times. How long you're going to live, that's how many times you feel like, oh, I've been wronged. I've been thought wrongly, even though I do it this way, but people perceive this wrongly in different ways, and you feel kind of frustrated. Nobody understood me. I've been wrong. This is the same, similar to Hagar here in Genesis, and she felt bad, and she thought, no one sees me. That means no one understands me. But God does. And in that situation, I don't know about you, but for me, I think, well, God knows about it. So I don't have to rectify, no, not rectify, but I don't have to explain myself so much, come to and try to do things to try to make it right, or try to explain if I don't have the opportunity to do it. I'm still at peace because I know that finally God knows. God saw everything. And if I'm on the right side, I should not worry about it. What is important is that God knows and he sees all the things in my life. And that gives me a tremendous peace and trust in God. You know, when you keep the stuff that you feel like you're wronged by someone all your life, it's a tremendous burden. And that can carry on in your life. And you feel like some people, they feel like all of their lives is just try to prove that that person told me this and he or she is wrong. I'm not that. I want to prove that. I'm not that all my life, all your someone's life, just to live it out, to live, to prove to someone. And you know, that's a painful life to live. That once you live, then you feel like some point that you have to prove to your parents, you have to prove to someone saying something, hey, I'm not that. I'm going to prove to you. And you know, once you live that life, you will live a burden and painful life. And in fact, when all of your life, when you see the Lord and say, all of my life, I try to live to prove to that guy or this gal that I'm not that, and then you found out they didn't even care. Isn't that a painful life to carry that burden? But when you know that God sees everything and God is right and God is righteous and he is just and you trust in him, done. I don't have to prove to anyone anything because I feel wrong about someone saying something to me and so I have to live that life. No, when I know that God sees everything. And then, finally, this probably happens in families in the church a lot, that I do something, but nobody really cares. Nobody gives me credit. And I feel like, well, I keep doing it, but nobody really cares. And nobody gives me really the credit for what I've done. And so I feel so defeated. I feel I'm so discouraged, and I don't want to do it anymore. But remember this. Remember this. Whatever you do, the Bible says, as you do to the Lord, right? You're not to serve the pastor. You're not serving the deacons. You're not serving another person in this church. But you're serving the Lord. And He is the one, the Father, the Lord Jesus said, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I mean, honestly, we think we're beyond this, that we don't care about credit, we don't care about anything, saying anything. But honestly, tell me, if you keep doing something and nobody acknowledge that have you done good things in this church or in your family, you feel discouraged. You have to be honest. But what helps us to get beyond that is this, that our Heavenly Father, He sees. He sees what we do. And that is more important. Even though we still need the acknowledgement from people, but if you have this belief that the Lord God sees everything you do for the church or in your family or at work or in every situation, you're at peace and you're content. And not only that, you have this power, this strength to keep on doing the good things. For God, we're serving God, and He knows, He sees everything. And so, how do we do this? How do we do this? Since it is important that we live it out, the knowledge and the fact that God is an all-seeing God, is that every day when you think, you speak, you act it in accordance with the consciousness that you live every second of your life before God, the all-seeing God. And that is when our life will begin to change, will be transformed. So we live in that consciousness that God is there and everywhere. Not just that He's everywhere in the universe, but He's there every second of your life, and He sees our life. And nothing is unimportant to God that He doesn't care. And God is, again, never overwhelmed or too tired or has so much to see, has so much to think, like us. He's omnipotent. His omniscience, His omnipresent. That is our God. Amazing, powerful God. So when we know this, one of the things is we marvel. We marvel at the all-seeing God. In what way? You know, when I think about this, I kind of marvel that, really? God saw me? God saw me when before I was born? God saw me when I was in Vietnam? I was that little boy just playing the dirt with pebbles. God saw me? Really? And in a terrifying way, God saw my every sin. Isn't it terrifying? But at the same time, this is why the grace of the Lord Jesus is so great. Even though He saw my every terrible sin, He forgave. He forgave me through the blood, the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. But then continue on. Really, He saw me when I came to America? And He saw me when I went to college? And He saw me when I do every stupid thing ever in the world? But He still cares. And He still called me into the ministry. I'm still standing here. If on my own strength or will or power, I would not be here. It has been His grace. I often marvel at God seeing every detail in my life and also yours. So every day marvel at that fact that God sees everything in your life. And then every day be thankful to that fact that God knows and sees every detail in your life. We're so thankful because He's been there with you on that freeway, on that morning when the other car was swerving over to your lane. And He saw you. And He controlled. He was in control. That's why you're here today and I'm here today. We should be so thankful that in His will that we have not perished, that we will continue on in His will. And remember that when David said that you saw my unformed body and every day of my life has been ordained. That is, God determined the length of your life, your years, your days, already determined. And He sees that too. He sees the whole expanse of your life from beginning. We already heard about that. David said that. Till the end, in that same verse in Psalm 139, right? It's all from the beginning till the end. Such is a marvelous God, and we should be thankful. And we should be restful in our all-powerful God, amazing God. And let us pray. Lord God of all comforts, Lord God of all strength and power, be with your people, the brothers and sisters here, young and old, that we have this firm knowledge of you, the all-seeing God. But help us also, Lord, to live it out every day with this knowledge. That is, be deep within us, that we see things the way you see and live it the way you want us to live. Father God, we praise you, Lord. For as the song says that you've been with us all along, and you will see us down that road. So we entrust our future in your hand, because your eyes will continue to watch over us. We marvel at that amazing power, but we also be thankful for you, O Lord. And help us also, Lord, to be constantly reminded of that fact so that we be able to avoid the evil way, that we live constantly before you in holiness and righteousness. Lead us, Lord, constantly every second of our lives into the life that pleases to you. But foremost of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your grace. For even in the time of our terrible sin, you saw it. But you are able to forgive us when we come to you in repentance and by your blood cleanse us so that we can be white before you and holiness to the holy God. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for your love for us through the Lord Jesus. And as the Lord Jesus promised, I will be with you always to the end of the age. We know that this promise is for each one of us, not for anyone specially, for each one of us here, and your people, your children. Thank you, Father. We pray in your name. Amen.